Chapter 28. Things you don't forget.
They started across the hangar without talking. Han went first, carrying their soul blaster at his side. He and Chewbacca seemed to know where they were headed, and Trigg followed, a dragging, somnolent half-step behind. Every so often, the Wookiee tossed his head, gave a snort or a grunt, like he was sampling the air and didn't like the way it smelled. And Han would say, "Yeah, I know," but they just kept moving forward. The silence was a black cloud that hung over them. The only noise was the tapping, echoing sound of their shoes against the vast steel floor, and outside, the creaking of the Star Destroyer in the black vacuum of space. Otherwise, there was no sound at all. It only accentuated the size of the ship and the limitlessness of the surrounding void. Trigg hated it. In such silence, his mind wandered, except wandered was far too tame a word. His mind ran wild, capered shrieking up and down his skull like some lunatic who'd murdered his entire family, jerking to a halt here or there to ruminate upon some grisly trophy or another.
"Why am I thinking like this?"
But he knew exactly why. He thought back to the thing that had lunged out of the escape pod at him, the thing he hadn't gotten a chance to tell anyone about, even his brother. The pod thing had once been an inmate, a human. It had worn an inmate's uniform, but circumstances had turned it into something else entirely. Its puffy, dead face and caved-in black eyes had been still vaguely human, but it had jumped out of the pod with a snarl that was decidedly not human. It had gone for his throat, and Trigg's reflexes were the only reason it hadn't succeeded. Spinning around, he had gone blundering down the corridor and plunged through the maintenance shaft, clinging to the inner wall while the thing went plummeting down past him with a frantic yodeling scream. And then, holding on inside the shaft, his fingers slowly going numb, Trigg had listened to it hit the bottom of the shaft with a crunch, its shallow breathing broken, still hungry, still trying to drag itself back up to get him. He thought about that inmate, as horrible as it was, over and over, and told himself it was better than thinking about the other thing. The thing weaving its way across the pilot station toward the docking shaft. The thing with his father's face. That face, also bloated and sagging, had hung off the thing's skull like a poorly fitted mask, stretching at the eyes. Trigg's mind refused to leave it alone. He kept thinking about the way it had grinned at him, as if it recognized him. And all the rest of them, the guards and prisoners. "Not dead," he told himself. "Kale said it wasn't, and you could see it too. Dad's dead. You said goodbye to him. Whatever that thing up there was, it wasn't Dad." And he could almost believe it. Almost. Except around the eyes. His father's eyes had always been his strongest feature. Those faded blue irises streaked with flecks of gold, the dark inquisitive pupils, their quickness and clarity, how they sought you out, making you feel like you were the only person in the room. Trigg had always liked talking to his father, and his dad could always make him laugh just by looking at him. The thing upstairs had had his father's eyes. Behind him now, Trigg thought he heard something scuffling across the destroyer's main hangar, and jerked around fast to look back. He could feel the blood tingling in his fingertips. There was nothing there, nothing but the long, flat durasteel floor they'd been walking across. And far away, on the other side, almost out of sight, the tiny huddled shapes of his brother and Dr. Cody. "I'm going crazy," he thought, and the idea brought no sense of dread. In fact, it was almost a relief. He'd been losing his grip on things over the last several days, and what he'd just seen only solidified it. Crazy, of course. And why not? What else were you supposed to do when the dead came back to life and tried to rip out the soft part of your neck? And if the dead man was your father?
"But Kale said..." "Kale's wrong," he muttered. "He's just wrong."
And he nodded along with his own words, because being crazy meant you could tell the truth. You didn't have to pretend it was okay anymore, and that was good. He heard that furtive scuttling noise behind him again and spun back around, but there was still nothing there. He couldn't even see his brother and Dr. Cody across the hangar, their outlines absorbed by distance and the lack of light. Or maybe the thing that was following them had already eaten them. And they were dead too. Which meant Trigg would be seeing them again soon. Wouldn't he? In the end, the sickness would bring them back. In the end, maybe the sickness brought everyone back. Trigg began to feel as if he were sinking into a warm, deep bath. His hearing was becoming muffled, his vision softening around the edges, blurring into deeper shadows across the bay. No wonder the Empire had abandoned this Star Destroyer out here in some remote corner of the galaxy. The sickness here was worse than anything he'd ever heard of. It made Darth Vader and his endless armies seem almost innocent by comparison. Thinking about it now made him want to puke and laugh at the same time, because that was what you did. That was just what crazy people did when their fathers came back from the dead and tried to attack them.
Kid? Hey, kid, are...
He realized he'd stopped walking. Han Solo was standing in front of him, staring at him through what felt like a thick and motionless cushion of air. Trigg could see his mouth moving, saw him frowning, asking a question.
You gonna...
But for the life of him, he couldn't figure out what Han was saying. It was like he was speaking a different language. Now the man was shaking him by the shoulders, and the soft wax that plugged Trigg's ears was starting to melt away, opening up his hearing.
All right? Han asked.
At the sound of his voice, Trigg felt the still air around him stirring, become less stifling, as if he'd just snapped out of some invisible chrysalis and drawn his first clean breath. It stung his nose and made his throat ache like he'd tried to swallow too big of a bite of something, and he realized he was going to cry again. Even if he didn't have any more tears. Han stood there looking at him awkwardly.
My dad,
Trigg managed, and that was all. Han opened his mouth to say something, but didn't. To his left, Chewbacca leaned forward and put his arms around Trigg. It was like being wrapped up in a warm, slightly musty-smelling blanket. Trigg could feel the Wookiee's heartbeat, and a soft, comforting growl from deep inside that cavernous chest. Slowly, he made himself release and draw away.
Okay, Han said, and cleared his throat. You all right?
Trigg nodded. It was a lie. He wasn't all right, not at all. But he was better. A little. He looked around and saw that they were standing among several smaller ships, the ones he'd first seen from the other side of the bay. Old, rusted vessels, jettisoned escape pods, captured rebel ships and shuttles. A small Corellian freighter. They lay in piles around them, a modest assortment of ruined aeronautics. The Wookiee barked out a question.
Nah, Han said. I seriously doubt it.
He pointed.
We can get up to the main concourse. Follow it up.
Yeah,
Trigg said, because he knew some kind of answer was expected of him.
It's going to take us a while to get up to the command bridge. These things are a kilometer long. But if it's got an engine, we can fly it.
Trigg nodded. They kept walking. Behind him, far off in the distance, he heard a new sound. Screaming.